This is Judith Lay saying Moramai, good morning and welcome, as once again the island's Christian community is at your service. Manx Radio. A passionate campaigner for better care for our environment, an experienced prison chaplain, and a pioneer minister actively developing new ways to grow vibrant Christian communities. They're all here at your service this week. And I'm very happy to say we have more requested music. We're starting with a little Oasis of Calm, and it's your choice, Barbara. The Choir of Young Voices, Libera, singing Be Still My Soul. Libera and Be Still My Soul to the beautiful melody Finlandia, and my thanks to you, Barbara, for choosing that for us. If you'd like to choose a favourite hymn for the programme, I'd love to hear from you. I'll remind you of my contact details at the end of the programme. For 40 years now, Prisons Week, which ended yesterday, has encouraged the Christian community, through individuals and churches, to pray for the needs of all those affected by prisons, prisoners and their families, victims of crime and their families and communities, those working in the criminal justice system, and the many people who are involved in caring for those affected by crime on the inside and the outside of our prisons. Prisons Week raises awareness and provides an annual focus for Christians to work together, building capacity and motivation to make a difference in our community. When she was in ministry here on the island, Reverend Dr. D.D. Haynes was a member of our dedicated prison chaplaincy team, and these are just a few of her thoughts on the challenges that extend beyond our prison walls.
When I needed a neighbor, were you there? Were you there? I needed a neighbor, were you there? You know the creed and the color and the name don't matter.
We often find it so very difficult to understand how life could get so messy and desperate that we might break the law. We find it equally difficult to comprehend that our prisons are houses of community brokenness. Every person there is someone's son or daughter, mother or father, grandson or granddaughter, husband, brother. Sometimes the best of us gets lost in the messiness of life. Prison statistics tell us individuals who receive education, counseling, and support while serving a sentence are much less likely to find themselves returning to a life where crime seems an option. But such programs require gifted educators and counselors, and prison budgets are already stretched to the limit. Consider this. One pastor and teacher, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, wrote to his parents from a prison cell in Germany in 1943. The words of the letter include this: "So long as there are men and women, Christ walks the earth as your neighbor, as the one through whom God calls on you, speaks to you. Christ lives in the shape of the person in our midst." Naming and claiming the brokenness of community will mean that we fully understand that when we invest in someone else's future, we invest in our own. If we can give just a little bit, surely there would be enough to make a difference for us all. What we put in may yield surprising results, and for that we can all celebrate and give thanks.
When the name wasn't Jesus, were you there? Were you there? When the name wasn't Jesus, were you there? You know the creed and the color and the name, they all don't matter. Were you there?
Even though we know from experience that the building and nurturing of relationships generally means a longer, happier life, we live in a world where separateness seems to be a high priority. We go to our homes, close the doors, eat in front of the television, and play with our computers. Although all of these activities could be used for the nurturing of relationships, the reality is that they do more to promote isolation. It would be a mistake to think that prisoners who become separated from community due to poor choices and the living out of consequences are only separated by the walls that surround the prison. The further separation comes in our own ability to build a wall around ourselves, thus making it even more difficult to foster and nurture relationship. But if we dare to take down those walls, Brick by brick, we will be able to see each other and recognize the created in the image of God creature that lives within us all. And isn't that what we are all hoping for? A longer, happier life with those we love and those who love us? So be it.
When I needed a healer, were you there? Were you there? God, I needed a healer, were you there? And the creed and the color and the name, they don't matter, were you there?
It's difficult for most of us to imagine ourselves an instrument. Generally, we don't look into the mirror each morning and think about how we might live into being a mechanism for radical change or even an agent for good. Instead, we see ourselves through the lens of everyday life and go off to school or work, hardly giving a thought to what the day might bring. For those of us who find ourselves imprisoned, the opportunity to embrace a fresh identity is compounded by a history that prevents us from easily finding lodging, jobs, or even companionship. A 2-week sentence can become, for all practical purposes, a sentence for life, because even though our brokenness is not the most of who we are, it will be recorded upon every job application, every housing record. Consider this. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Christian pastor and teacher, wrote from his prison cell, saying, "God is not ashamed of human lowliness. He enters right into it. He chooses a human being to be his instrument and works his wonders where they are least expected." What would our community be like if we were able to recognize in one another the presence of God struggling to work wonders? How would our lives be enlarged by becoming a holy utensil, an agent of forgiveness and mercy? How empty might our prisons become if we could recognize something holy in the humble request to begin again? Our everyday lives have the potential to become extraordinary. When we look into the mirror, what will we see and discover about our own ability to change the world a little bit at a time?
Wherever you travel, I'll be there, I'll be there. Wherever you travel, I'll be there. And the creed and your color and your name, they all won't matter, I'll be there. You'll find me there.
With music by Sydney Carter, Reverend Dr. D.D. Haynes shared some of her thoughts based on her experience as a prison chaplain as this year's Prisons Week draws to a close. Reverend Alex Brown is regularly here at your service. He's a pioneer minister in Douglas dedicated to finding ways to present the eternal truths of the Christian faith to people who are seeking a deeper meaning to life, who are full of questions but perhaps don't find all the answers in a conventional church setting. Alex has been taking a fresh look at St. Matthew's Gospel, in particular the chapter that's all about prayer.
Sometimes it can feel a bit like you're praying and where is God? You know, I've been talking about trusting your Heavenly Father with all you have, every detail of life, but we can't always see what God's up to, can we? But keep on asking, and you will receive what it is you're asking for. Listen carefully. Keep on searching, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who searches finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Any parents will know this. I mean, if your children ask you for some breakfast, do you give them a loaded mousetrap? If they come for some cucumber, do you feed them a sneaky green chili instead? Of course not. So if imperfect humanity knows how to give good gifts to children, how much more will your perfect Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? So ask, search, and knock, and don't be afraid of the answer. All of these human-to-human interactions and attitudes can be summed up in one headline. Treat others like you want to be treated. I know it makes it seem easy, but really it isn't. You can enter God's kingdom only through me, the narrow gate. There is a long, wide toll road to hell. It's wide and busy, and the entry point is free and attractive. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult. It breaks my heart that not everyone will find it. So beware of false gateways, so-called holy people who come disguised as butterflies but are vicious hornets. You can identify them by their fruit, you know, the way they act. You don't go to an apple tree and expect to pick grapes, and you don't wander to a tomato plant and expect to get sweet corn. A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. They don't suddenly change overnight. So every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, in the same way you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. That's how you can identify the people who will lead you to me, the narrow gate. It's true. Not everyone who calls out publicly to me, "Oh, you're my Lord," is necessarily on the narrow pathway with me. Only those whose fruit shows they actually act like God would act. At the end of all time, there are going to be many people who'll come to me and say, "But Lord, look at all the things we did in your name. We spoke like prophets in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We even performed miracles in your name." And I will be broken in my reply to them when I say, "I never even got to know you. Now get away from me, you who said you represented me, but lived with an attitude that shattered God's grace." Okay, one final thing, a story. Anyone who listens to my teaching and actually follows it is like a wise builder who builds a house on like solid rock. The rain may well come down in torrents, and a flood water may even rise, and the wind might beat strongly against those walls. But it isn't going to collapse because it's built on the rock, a strong, unmovable foundation. But anyone who hears my teaching and then doesn't also do what I say is foolish. Like a builder who builds a house on sandy soil with nothing solid underneath it. When it all starts to settle and the rain and the floods come and the wind beats against it, the whole thing will subside and crack. And eventually, it will just collapse with a crash.
Come back to the waters, find rest in the stream. Hear my heart is awakened to the beauty I see. So take me under the waters, baptize me again. Drown me in your wonder till I'm filled with your love.
Oh, oh, oh. Jesus finished teaching, and the crowd started to talk to each other about what they'd heard. They were amazed at what he said and the way he said it. He spoke as if he had the authority of God to simply tell humanity how it was. It was incredible, revolutionary stuff. And it felt like it contained power, power to change, and power to know God.
This peace is a weapon that the devil can't take. We can stand in the fire, but we're called by his name. So come here to the table, because we're all the same. No fear, no rejection. We're the children of God.
as life in the water. Come wade in the water, wade in the water, come alive.
New music from British gospel singer Junior Garth. The track's called Waters, and I think there's quite a similarity there to Gregory Porter, who started his musical life singing in the church where his mother was the pastor. Cheryl Cousins is the local minister for Dalby Village and St James's Church. She's also a dedicated campaigner for environmental awareness, for better care for our world.
You know that they say that people come to look like their dogs? Well, I often feel that gardens come to look like their people. Look at a garden near you and you soon identify the personality of your neighbours. There are those barren wilderness areas that reflect the person that just doesn't have the time to care. Or there are those brilliant neat borders of annuals set in well-ordered rows that flower profusely all summer that indicate an owner who likes a bit of control and order. There is the overgrown garden, where species are virtually at war with species in a struggle for survival. The work of the free spirit that planted without planning. And then there are those havens of delight that I just marvel at, where everything seems to have grown to its full potential. Everything seems to be in its own space, doing its own thing, but is still part of the master plan, somehow reflecting the overall integrity of the garden. To me, it shows the gardener who really knows and cares about their plants. I often think that society could be a bit like that garden. The dominant plants prune back, the familiar native flowers blended with the new and the exotic, the vulnerable well tended, the brave allowed to self-seed to surprise us all. All have equal access to sunshine, shade, fertiliser and moisture. And voila, you create the flowering haven. But we need to remember that there are times when a plant does need more than just nourishment. Sometimes it needs transplanting to a new environment. It needs to be able to self-seed to a new location where it's not overshadowed by an encroaching dominant native species. If it's fragile and vulnerable, it needs to be well tended, nourished and nurtured before it will grow to its full potential. A garden where one-fifth of the plants are flourishing is not a haven of peace and unity. A world where four-fifths of the population are living in poverty needs nourishment and the opportunity to self-seed into a less hostile environment. Are we prepared to do that for those weaker members of the world?
Gaelic blessing there from Catherine Jenkins. And thank you to Cheryl Cousins, local minister for Dalby Village and St James's Church. And Cheryl will be in St James's Church this evening at 6:30 and would love you to join her for a time of Taizé worship. Cheryl says, "We meet on the third Sunday of the month at 6:30 for quiet, reflective, candlelit Taizé worship in Dalby Church, which means it's this Sunday the 18th. Anyone is very welcome to come and join us. It's just a lovely, peaceful way of closing one week and starting another." And in complete contrast, and by popular request, there's going to be another Hollandtide Hooli in Dalby schoolrooms, and it's next Saturday the 24th at 7:30 with music by the East Ronnock Combined Services Military Band. And Cheryl says they're anything but a military band. This is a great light-hearted foot-tapping evening with lively music, a hot pot supper, and it's at £12.50 a head. To book, please ring Gilly on 844031, stating if you have special dietary requirements. Proceeds will help the special unit at St John's School, the Manx Overseas Charity, Bees for Burundi, and the Dalby Church Restoration Fund. Back to today, and it's harvest time at the Howe Chapel in Port St Mary, where there'll be two services today. 11 o'clock this morning, led by Catherine Corkish with the Sunday School children, and then there's an evening service tonight at 6:30, led by Mrs. Rita Norrie, and once again the Sunday School children will be involved. Then tomorrow evening at 7:30 at the Howe, there'll be a sale of harvest produce, followed at 8 p.m. by a concert by the Londo Male Voice Choir. Supper will be served, and the cost is just £5 per person. Bride Parish Church continue their harvest celebrations with an evening of music with Gareth Moore and friends. That's in Bride Parish Church tonight at 6:30. Tabor on Thursdays are themed nights held regularly in Port St Mary Methodist Church. The next one is this Thursday the 22nd, and it's a Manx Miscellany, a slideshow by Donald Gellion. It starts at 7:30, light refreshments will be served, and the cost is £5 per person. And that's all that we have time for today. Do please join me again later if you can, as there'll be more items from the church notice board tonight on Sundown from 9 o'clock. Thank you to Reverend Dr. Dee Dee Haynes, Reverend Alex Brown and Cheryl Cousins. And as always, my special thanks to you for your company. If you'd like to choose a hymn for the programme, you can email me anytime on judithleigh@manxradio.com, and Leigh is spelled L-E-Y. I'll be back here next Sunday morning, either from 7 a.m. as a podcast via our website, manxradio.com, or on your radio at 9:30, when the Christian community of the island will once again be at your service. But right now, this is Judith, thinking of you and those you love, and those you're perhaps missing and not able to visit at present. I wish you all a safe and blessed week, and a very good morning.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.